Episode 6942. The Comic Playground is ready to go. And this voice makes no sense for what we're doing. So, Frank Caliendo, along with Corbin Ford.
Hi, y'all.
That sucked.
Hey.
Yeah, not good.
What's up, everyone?
Ken Brown.
Just freshly back from a great suntan.
What? Oh, San Diego?
San Diego.
Okay.
Sunburns, Ken, and suntans.
Ken was there on site at San Diego Comic Con. We'll be finding out a little bit more about that. Zach Coleman, no E.
Exactly.
Awkwardly.
Our intros are amazing.
I don't know how to top the suntan joke. Tough. Tough act to follow there.
Yeah. Brutal.
Worked on that all day, man.
Donnie Ivory.
Yo, yo.
Of course. And David Morrison joining us, filling in for Adonis Blake.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. probably the best the show I can see you're going to be contributing nonstop, David. Way to go. King of the Reno. All right. So let's just get right into it. Ken, you were out at San Diego Comic-Con.
Yes.
You made some huge announcements. You're part of Marvel Phase 4.
Yes, Phase 4 is going to have the Ken Brown movie in it now.
What are you going to do?
Is it an origin story?
Yes, it's an origin story of more or less about this guy that owns a comic shop that just hangs around waiting for the great comics that they can recommend to Marvel to make movies about.
Oh, well, that sounds like a really good movie. So what did you think? You've been there before now.
Yes, this is actually, it's weird. This is the 50th, not my 50th time, but it's the 50th San Diego Comic-Con. Wow. And so it was kind of cool to be here for the 50th anniversary of San Diego.
How did I miss that was the 50th? I guess I'm just not paying enough attention.
No, I didn't even know. They definitely didn't announce that.
Yeah, well, they have like a little treasure box they gave you with your badge. You had to wait in another line because you can't go to San Diego Comic-Con without lines.
Okay, so let's get into that whole thing, first of all. So how much of a wait? You went there as what, a vendor?
Or yes, a retailer. They give us the badge as a retailer. They give each comic shop that's been open for more than a year one retailer badge to use to go to San Diego Comic Con.
Okay. So you get that, and that gives you access to what?
Just walking in the door, pretty much. It's not you get more or less every other person that pays for a badge access. That's not like any kind of A+.
How much would somebody pay for that badge?
It's kind of cool. It is a $280 badge.
Okay, and that gets you in the whole weekend, 3 days?
Yes, since preview night, everything included.
Okay.
And it's, we arrived there Wednesday. We left Wednesday morning, and we took the
Who's we?
It was me, Ashley, my store manager.
Ashley, Jason. Who's been on the show before.
Yes, Ashley Mall, who's been on the store the show with you guys before. Okay. And Jason Worthington, my store manager, and his wife.
Jason?
I don't know if you met Jason yet. You might have if you came through the store. He doesn't work Wednesday. So actually, you got to come on a Saturday and you'll meet Jason. He holds down the fort for me when I'm not there. And he's a freaking awesome manager, definitely.
Yeah. Is there anybody who works for you that isn't awesome?
No, not many people.
Wait a second. I can see working at your store. Attitude. Hey, wait a second. You're not awesome. You're fired. I'm Ken Brown. Phase 4 Ken Brown.
That's the plot.
Oh, wow.
Four, no, just kidding.
It's kind of like The Apprentice. Is that the
story? you're fired. You're done. I'm Ken Brown. All right. So you're there. Tell us a little bit more about the Comic-Con experience as a retailer.
Yeah, as a retailer, you more or less you walk in, you print up your badge from home, and it's more or less like a queue that you go get your badge with, actually. Right.
So then you're waiting in line to get that badge.
Yeah, that was pretty quick. That was the fastest line of the whole show.
How much time?
About 15 minutes.
Oh, that's not bad.
Yeah, I was really impressed with that. I was going, usually sometimes it takes about an hour to wait for the more or less getting your retailer badge, but got there early Wednesday about 4 p.m. because the line's open to go get your badges. If you had your printed up SKU to go just get scanned and get your badge starting at 3 p.m. It's kind of concerning because we arrived a little bit around 4 p.m. going, okay, this line's going to be horrendous. And just walk right in, and it was pretty quick. I was pretty impressed with how fast they had all that going.
Okay.
And once you got in there, it's like that. You just wait for the floor to open at, I think it was 6 o'clock that day, and just walked around the upper, what they call the sale pavilion, is where you come in at, and walk up around to see all the different panel rooms that are upstairs, kind of a little bit like how they do Phoenix Fan Fusion. You know, you have right. the vendor floor on the base floor. Actually, it's a basement in Phoenix, but in San Diego, it's
the closet
base floor. Yes.
So anybody who isn't who's just learning about all this comic stuff, San Diego Comic-Con is the biggest
yes.
Comic-Con. It's much bigger than New York.
New York's getting close.
Okay.
Because I said too. San Diego, they call the granddaddy of them all.
Right. So what's happened, though, with San Diego Comic-Con is more that Hollywood's gotten involved.
Absolutely.
And kind of taken over, and it's become more about the stars and show announcements. Mm-hmm. It's almost become like a big press release time for all the different Hollywood, you know, whether it's the CW talking about their TV shows or mm-hmm. whomever. The Marvel Phase. The big thing that everybody cared about was Marvel Phase 4.
It wasn't Cats?
Say that again?
It sure wasn't Cats.
Cats. You've been on the internet listening to this Cats thing? Yeah. I haven't even played it with volume yet, so
I don't
know what it is.
I did the mashup where they took the music from Us, from
the movie Jordan Us,
Peele, and then put it over that. Perfect. That would have been amazing. But anyway.
I was really impressed to see, like, the cool thing about San Diego Comic-Con is there's the indoor element. The outdoor element keeps on improving every year.
And what is that?
They have like carnivals out there that are put on like by Fox. There is Amazon had a boys more or less an event location where you could go around and tour what the boys TV show's set's going to be like. There was a hidden comic shop on site there, which was kind of fun too, that you kind of had to treasure hunt your way to find. That was the blast of just things that even if you don't get San Diego Comic Con tickets, you can go have fun there.
Oh, okay.
That's what I think.
So it's kind of like the Super Bowl with the NFL experience.
Yes.
Okay.
And there's multiple of them though. I mean, there's things everywhere. The hotels host things. I mean, the Hilton, has like, their whole courtyard. They had a Rick and Morty setup where you could do like a Rick and Morty event. FX did a setup where they had It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia, and they had
what does that have to do? That has nothing to do with comics.
That's what
at
blows
all.
Me away. It's more Hollywood now,
right?
Than some way comics, to kind of touch on what you were saying there. Yeah. Like Hollywood was everywhere.
I'm all for it, Hollywood.
Yeah. IMDb had a boat there where Kevin Smith was hanging out interviewing people all week.
Yeah, but that makes sense because he's got a tie to comics, so that there is that tie there. So I had texted you and asked you if you went to Hall H, where a lot of the big announcements were, yes. And you told me.
Oh, my gosh, dude. Hall H is you just have to more or less camp. People bring camping gear to wait in line for Hall H. On Saturday, I took our
– So Hall H is where all the huge announcements happen.
Yes.
Everything. That's where Marvel is.
Yeah.
CW is there. Is that just the – that's the one that everybody wants to be in terms of – the Hollywood that's the Super Bowl.
Yes, like Hall H, like they had a Walking Dead panel. They had a Supernatural panel. They had the Marvel Phase 4 panel was in there. Ballroom 20 is another one that's kind of like the next level, almost like your, you know, the NFC and the AFC championship. You know, the Super Bowl winners get all the big Ballroom 20 into Hall H, but then your, you know, runner-ups get the Ballroom 20, and Hall H is your big one.
So I have a question about how – I was seeing there are stars there from these shows.
Yes.
And they're doing some autograph signings.
Yes.
Is that something people are paying to go see? Or is that something that they're just there and the studios are putting them out there for the publicity and then you can just get in line 2 days ahead to go see Grant Gustin from The Flash?
There's a couple of different ways of doing it. There's wristband lotteries.
Okay.
What they do is like you have to register on San Diego Comic Con's portal to get into a lottery, and they randomly pick people if there's more people there than what wristbands are available.
And how long ago would you have had to do that? Is that lottery done quite a while ago?
Yeah, I think they finished. You know whether or not you get into the lottery by the time you're going to con, but you register about 3 to 4 weeks beforehand.
Right, but that's not even that bad. It's not like 6 months ahead of time or anything like that.
I mean, the tickets sell faster than that, right?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yeah, like tickets, they sometimes release tickets one more time a couple months before the convention, but usually they're sold out within about hours. And then
when do they put them on? Like 6 months in advance?
Yeah, 6 months in advance, easily. There's people that pre-register at this con to make sure that they get.
So do you get preference if you've been to a con before?
Not really.
No.
Yeah. I mean, I said too, you're getting the portal. And I said too, it's a huge freaking lottery. I mean, there's, gosh, I don't know what the numbers are, but it's got to be close to 300,000 or 400,000 people that go to San Diego Comic Con. We got to look up those numbers hardcore.
I think it's like a billion. And I do this voice, but it gets us in trouble with you.
Right here?
So what?
What? People don't even know because I think that's probably been cut. So in terms of a press pass,
yes.
You know, the press pass is the way to go. Does Absolutely. That get people into a lot more? Are they giving out a lot of press passes?
You have to more or less have, from what I understand, good question on that again, too. I apologize. Like that, someone told me you have to have 50 episodes of something in a row if you want like a press pass.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And it is more or less, it has to be approved by San Diego Comic-Con. You just can't like just sign up and expect to get it. They review what you do. They review what kind of following you have. And they said, okay, they grant you the press pass. And the press pass more or less grants you the ability to get on lists to set up like, okay, what are your requests? What do you want to
do? Oh, that's still – so that's just a – that gets you a chance yes. to be in that lottery.
Mm-hmm. Because there's so many different people that are there and some people that want to interview. I mean, press is just as big
right.
like as it would be at the Super Bowl.
And everybody's faking their way into being a press person.
Yes. I said too.
Which is what we're going to try with you.
I'll do right. my best. At least I got a degree in journalism. What do these other people got?
Yeah. I got that too and look at me. So – your favorite thing, the thing you wanted to talk about most from Comic-Con was what?
Man, dude, I'm really a big Scott Snyder fan. Are you guys familiar with Scott Snyder?
No, Phyllis.
Yeah, he's the writer that...
Zack Snyder?
No relation whatsoever. No relation whatsoever to Scott Snyder and Zack Snyder.
John Snyder?
John Snyder,
John
maybe.
Snyder from...
Dukes of Hazzard?
Shh. It's a, even a shn.
Isn't it Rob Schneider?
Rob
Bigelow?
Snyder's pretzels.
Yes, it's Rob.
Anyone remember
Schneider.
Snyder's pretzels? No?
Different spelling on all those two.
Snyder's of
yeah,
Hanover?
Absolutely. It doesn't, absolutely. People change their names when they come to this country.
It's,
no comment.
Setup's real.
Are we going to lose half our audience from that, too? Yeah,
no, I keep it a little bit. Mine's less pointed. All right, so go. So tell us what the about Zack Snyder.
Okay, so, Zack Snyder, Scott Snyder,
yeah,
is going to be working with Charles Soule, who's another famous writer. And Charles Soule is worked on X-Men. He's worked on Avengers. He's been all over the place, too, as well. But Scott Snyder is my favorite writer of pretty much comics going right now. American Vampire, Batman, Justice League of America right now. He's writing the big storyline where DC's going. But they just announced that since Walking Dead was canceled –
Image the was, comic book.
Yes, Walking Dead, the comic, was canceled. Image was concerned about where they're going to go next to maintain a large fan base. And they went to Scott Snyder and Charles Soule with an idea that they had. It's time for them to release the comic that they say is going to fill the gap for fans that loved Walking Dead.
Hmm.
And it is called Undiscovered Country. It's a story where more or less the United States went off the grid for 30 years. It's like, you guys do whatever the heck you want in the world. We're going to be us. You be you. And we'll go from there. Well, a virus started hitting the rest of the world, and the rumors started getting out that the United States had the cure. And so now they're opening the borders for the first time, saying that we are going to allow other people to communicate with us because they were tired of more or less. They, once again, isolated their country from the rest of the world. You guys figured out we're going to do our own thing.
And this doesn't tie into Walking Dead in any way.
Not at all. It's a brand new story.
Dystopian.
Yeah, and it's going to have, like, once again, there's going to be what sounds like to be some type of possible, like, play on the zombie virus. It's not going to be a zombie virus, but this virus is going to have more or less so destructive elements.
It's kind of Walking Dead-ish, though.
Yes, so it's filling to appeal that, to that fan base.
Right. It's sure. Yeah, it sounds like it's yeah, it's just a slightly different story.
The way that they described it during the panel is like USA seals its border from outer world. Pandemic breaks out 30 years later. Border opens what happened in the USA during the closed-off years. And it's going to be like a lot of new characters and a lot of more or less. It's kind of, he said during the panel that he's trying to point at some of the more or less results of what happened if we continue to go towards an isolist society.
Hmm. And do you know, how much time does it usually take, and can it even happen simultaneously, where a comic book has a TV show, or is it usually the comic book's out for a while before the TV show's happen?
It depends, because like Scott Snyder also wrote a comic series called Witches, and as soon as the comic hit, even before it hit stands for sale, Brad Pitt already optioned it as something he wanted to be involved with, to have the rights to produce either a TV or movie with it. So that can happen before.
Right, but the TV show isn't coming out right away. They're talking about it. That seems to be happening a lot, where they have the comic creator has something, they go meet with somebody, somebody options a script or whatever, but not necessarily getting made or put to television. But Brad Pitt's a pretty decent name. He's also thinking about this show. So, Corbin, you were really excited about the DC stuff going on the CW.
Yes.
You just
yes.
like stuff with initials?
DC, C, yeah. The initials are my thing. But the DC event that is coming up, going to be the last couple weeks of December, first couple weeks of January, is Christ on Infinite Earths, which is an adaptation off of its... Adaptation. Its, of course, you know, reading all that.
Debuted.
Yeah. Anyways.
When is it debuting?
I'm done.
Debooting. Taking the boot off.
Longtime fans, go back
that's,
to that.
That's actually kind of what it is. Debooting is taking the boot off. Like, so when you have your car...
How does this tie into the Crisis on Infinite Earths?
It's Crisis in, well, in Infinite Corbin.
If I had said adaptation, we would never have went
so
down
it's,
that
the word hole. Is adaptation.
No, but I'm glad adaptation. I'm glad we went this route.
We're going to library. It's a shame. It's embarrassment.
Say it three times quick.
Adaptation. Anyways.
Couldn't even make it to three.
Whatever.
Adaptation.
Crisis on Infinite Earths was this massive crossover
adaptation.
Event by DC in
adaption.
1980. I said it. Dude. Okay.
Adaptation.
Anyway, it was an event.
We let Corbin. We let Ken talk the whole time and nothing. No, go ahead. I'm sorry.
No,
not really.
By Marv Wolfman and George Perez, and they basically took all of the many worlds that DC had at the time and put into one manageable timeline, while also offing some significant members of the DC universe. And they had the tagline, "What world?" And things. I'm not even going to try to do it, but things change. The universe will never be the same. That's not exactly how it is. But the point being. It was this massive event that really set the timeline for DC moving forward. And so now CW is going to do their own version of this among their five shows. So that's super. That's
so what has you so excited about this?
Well, they're bringing in other characters from or other actors from DC lore from other projects. So Brandon Routh from the 2006 movie Superman Returns is going to be in.
Which I loved, by the way.
Yes, I loved as well. Not only is he back playing Superman, but he's playing a different version of Superman. Which he's playing the Kingdom Come Superman, which is
wow.
Kingdom Come is one of my favorite comic books of all time, but it's an Elseworlds tale of DC in the future.
So, what is a little bit about why is Kingdom Come such a great comic to you?
Well, it's what would happen, and this is Alex Ross is really key behind this. Ross and Mark Waid,
your best buddy,
and it was a DC universe. I don't want to say dystopian future, but Superman had left. The Joker had basically killed everyone, not everyone, but he killed a lot of people, notably Lois Lane. There was other newer superheroes that were taking over that said, listen, you know, let's just kill people. Like, why are we not even doing the whole truth or justice? They're just going to escape. But the problem is that sort of justice ended up turning into just less superhumans, metahumans fighting each other for no reason at all, fighting others and really just making the world a mess. Superman left and was gone for years. Wonder Woman back to her people. Batman got his back broken by Bane and basically went to retirement.
Oh, that was in that?
Yeah, and he took Gotham over by Bat Robot. So all of the DC founding members had already left in kind of in retirement or just isolation. And then they came back to this new world. And in this new world, you have the humans who are now, you know, looking at this world like, oh my God, we have to do something. You have Lex Luthor who's taken some of the older DC villains and they're trying to start a human liberation front. That's what it's called. And they have a burden or a secret weapon in Captain Marvel who they've basically kept drugged to kind of be an agent for them. Because in this book, he's the one guy who can match Superman in terms of strength.
Right.
And it just comes to this one massive clash where you have Superman, Wonder Woman, all of them trying to put the world back in order they remember. You have the humans trying to fight back, and you have Batman for kind of working with Lex Luthor and Shazam in the mix. It's a really great story.
Zach, what were you going to say about Brandon Routh? Was there something that you had?
Oh, I was just going to say, I mean, I loved that actual Superman movie, and I know it really got kind of critically panned in a sense, but when it came out, I was excited to start seeing more and more of him as Superman and was pretty disappointed when they were like, no, that was a one
and
done.
He was very Christopher Reeve.
And they made it a continuation of the Christopher Reeve stories from the 70s Superman movies. And so
I thought he was really good. I really liked him in that. He was the Clark Kent character, so bumbling and fun. And then Superman just smooth.
Is Brandon Routh going to take on both roles of both Adam and Superman?
So that's what they're trying to figure out. Because
they don't know this yet? I thought they knew this.
Oh, no. He's going to play Superman. He's going to play the Kingdom.
So they have it figured out.
That's figured out. But Brandon Routh already plays a character.
I know.
That part hasn't been revealed to us yet. How big a role is Legend of Tomorrow going to play across Christ on Infinite Earths? Because if so, yeah, I mean, because
he's Ray.
So exactly, but I mean, he's going to be across all of the shows. So that's Arrow, that's The Flash, Supergirl, Batwoman, and Legend of Tomorrow. And there's a chance that they could even put in Black Lightning into this universe because it is Infinite Earths. Mm-hmm. So I mean, obviously, the logistical issues as far as filming most of the stuff for the other shows in Vancouver and having Black Lightning being filmed mostly in Atlanta. But I mean, that's getting actors on a plane, and it depends on certain scenes. But you can definitely do that. So
you know, anything is basically getting actors on a plane to get them together.
But if I mean, yes, but in the sense that it hasn't been done before.
There's too many actors on this plane.
but does the CW have the same issues that DC Comics had when it created Crisis on Infinite Earths? The whole point was that there was a Golden Age version of this character, and there was a Silver Age version of the character, and then the continuity was getting all messed up, and so they had to do something to kind of reset it and say, no, this is the Superman, this is the Flash, mm-hmm. this is the Green Lantern, these are the ones that matter, forget about those from before. Is that actually happening in the CW universe?
Or? If anything, they're kind of making it a thing now, because it wasn't. They didn't have to have two Supermen. They already had Tyler, I forgot his last name, but they had a Superman actor in Supergirl. So there wasn't multiple characters or multiple like timelines or anything mixed up.
I believe it was Tyler Perry.
Tyler Perry anyways, Superman? Medea's family Superman?
I mean, yeah. But by bringing in this other Superman, it's okay, that's cool. And he's playing an older version
Super
of Superman.
Super Medea. Oh, ooh, that's much better.
Brutal.
Anyways, you already have, I mean, this is a character that we already know. They're already also bringing in Burt Ward as a cameo in this. Which
you're more
cool.
excited about that stuff. You just want to see the other actors playing.
I'm excited for the other actors. That's kind of my big thing, but I was always excited for the storyline because how are they going to take this into this universe? Because you're right. The basis of Crisis on Infinite Earths was we have all these timelines, and we have Batwoman, and we had Wonder Girl, and we also had Wonder Woman, and they had a Wonder Girl from when she was younger growing up in the comics back in the 80s.
Wonder Girl is before she becomes Wonder Woman or a completely different character?
Well, that's what I'm saying. Back then, they had one that was on the Teen Titans. I'm not even sure Wonder Girl was her name. It was Wonder Girl that was in there, and they also had a storyline or a comic series of Wonder Woman before she became Wonder Woman, so it was Wonder Girl. And they're like, okay, we already have that. We have Batgirl and we have Batwoman, and we had another Batgirl from the Silver Age because they had made Batwoman and Batgirls.
I always find that stuff kind of fun when there are mm-hmm. different Earths coming across, you know, different universes or whatever that they see their, you know, maybe not their replicas or doppelgangers, but mm-hmm. there's that funny element. It's Captain America fighting Captain America. Although that's the same time, that's just different timelines, but that's fun in Endgame.
Yeah, the original Crisis was designed not only to clean up continuity, but mm-hmm. to integrate characters that DC purchased through other company mergers. Like, let's bring in the Charlton characters, like The Question, Blue Beetle, and Silk Spectre, and characters that were purchased by them, but they weren't part of their storytelling, but how can we use them in with our other characters? Mm. And so let's clean up all the other continuities at the same time and say, let's just do one Earth moving forward until they said, oh, you know, 25 years later, they decide, let's do another crisis to reopen the realities again.
Because, infinite crisis.
Yeah, people like the Elseworlds. And that was something that they invented after the Crisis was the Elseworld era, and that kind of opened up the idea of let's bring back the multiverse again.
Mm-hmm. Do you think they're maybe driven by Edge of the Spider-Verse or Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse, whatever the movie was called, where they figured out a way to bring in these different universes and like, oh,
I would say
maybe
it's more the opposite, like where Marvel sees how successful DC's been with it.
Oh, comic books for sure. DC did it first, but I wonder if from the entertainment world side of things of film and TV, if DC saw, okay, well, they were able to do a Spider-Man movie with bringing in the multiverse, and so maybe they can actually pull it off on the TV side of CW.
Well, and I would say that I like what CW has been doing because they set the groundwork for this event, last year's event during the Elseworlds crossover event, where they introduced the Monitor and Psycho Pirate and other characters who you didn't really know a lot of then, and that's fine because they're going to play a significant part in this storyline if we're going based off what happened in the comics. So Psycho Pirate, who's one of the kind of antagonists alongside the anti-monitor.
Psycho Pirate does not sound like a protagonist, that's for sure.
No, but they were bit characters in this last crossover. I mean, you just saw Psycho Pirate try to escape from Arkham, and then Batwoman came in, and that was her entrance, and that kind of simultaneously brought her into the forefront while also getting rid of this character. But then, at the end of the series, they went back to him. So it's really setting the stage for that. My wonder as, like, a fan is how are they going to do it, because there aren't really any continuity issues with the Arrowverse. There really isn't. If anything, it's kind of cleaning up a little bit more. You already have all the shows, or at least four of the five shows, are in the same universe, kind of in that same area.
Do you think they'll bring in Ryan Reynolds as the Green Lantern? That would be fantastic.
They just want it to end.
Yeah.
They just put an end to the whole
crisis on finite Earth. Yeah. So let me ask you this, because I was talking to Juliet, my daughter, and I said, She was getting into the Ray Palmer versus Superman kind of thing, and in terms of the person looking similar. And I said, well, it's infinite Earths. So in terms of infinite Earths, that means that the same two people aren't going to have a child, that genetics could totally be different, all kinds of stuff, because it might be in World 5 or Universe 5, 7, and 26 – most of the things happen in the same route. And then she said, no, that's not how they describe it in DC. Do you know anything about that, or is it?
Well, with DC, if you think about that, just that whole concept of Ray Palmer and Clark Kent from being somehow same lineage, Clark Kent, that destroys everything from Krypton.
Right.
And so when it comes to the fact of lineage of anything from different realities, different people can be different. Like, say, in a different universe, Dick Grayson could be Batman, because he was obviously right. Batman for a while, too. But
well, it could be somebody completely different,
Clark
though.
Kent is most
right.
That.
They have but somebody could look. You ever see somebody that you're like, there was one time I was watching Conan years ago,
yes.
And Andy Richter was driving the desk, and I thought it was me on TV for a second when I was chubbier and had longer hair. I was like, what? That's Andy Richter.
Mm.
And it was funny. It was funny because one time when I was on Conan, somebody came over afterwards, some guy who was, a singer or something like that, that was played in the band, came over and told Andy really great stand-up set or something. He's like, you were really funny, but he meant it for me.
Yes.
So he's like, he got confused on who was who, and Andy Richter's like 6'3" or something like that. So I'm like a Russian nesting doll version.
Oh, good.
So,
do you think there's an Earth where you are Andy Richter and he's you? You've switched places.
And Andy Richter saves the universe. Isn't that?
Sure.
Wasn't that what?
A little known cross.
Frank Caliendo saves the universe.
A little known one shot.
Frank Caliendo ruins the country.
Well, during New 52, they did have a reality where an Obama-looking character was both president and Superman.
Oh, is that a racist thing to say? An Obama-looking character.
Character that they drew him like Obama.
I'm a little
super. I got nothing to dig out of that.
Let that go for a second. let me be clear, Zach. I think that there was nothing meant by that whatsoever.
That's how DC drew him. I didn't choose
Corbin.
Yeah, I'm kind of a wreck now. I'm playing. Here? No, but No, to go with the Superman
thing. That's obviously not Clark Kent.
No, in the Superman that was playing in this universe already before they're bringing in this Brandon Wrath character, he had left at the end of the Elseworlds crossover. Him and Lois Lane went to Argo City, the last remnants of Krypton, to have birth. Lois was pregnant, and she was having the child. So they're going to be in this new crossover. So you're going to have a different Superman, older, if we're going based off Kingdom Come, kind of more jaded kind of Superman, which will have to kind of get his backstory. They're probably going to make him look a touch older because that Superman was kind of graying at the time and everything. So you have that. You have this other Superman who at this point presumably be back with Supergirl and them, with Lois Lane, with their child, who may or may not have superpowers because they had went to give birth away from the yellow sun at the time. So we'll see how that all ties in. And who knows what other characters may develop into this. But that is what I'm really excited about, because you already have these kind of big names that are put out there. And as soon as you say Kingdom Come, that's like the quintessential Elseworlds DC story and universe. So that's like everyone just kind of goes crazy there. But we don't know how it's going to kind of develop and how the ties are going to fold. And you have shows like The Flash, which are going to have their season. And this was announced at San Diego Comic-Con, where they're going to have basically two parts. You know, their season leading up to Crisis on Infinite Earths and their big baddie for that, and then the fallout of that crisis and their big baddie for that. So it's going to be kind of a significant event for each of the shows, but we're still not sure, aside from the name only and presumably different universes and different versions of the characters, there's a lot of speculation, and that is kind of fun when it's of this type of scope.
Just to speculate a little bit, what do you think the odds are of a Dean Cain and Terry Hatcher appearance?
Yo. There's already, like, speculation about Linda Carter as Wonder Woman or whatever, which is kind of out there. But, yeah, having her in there, it's – I mean, at this point, I think it might get too big. There's a lot of names being tossed about of having other characters from other DC shows put in there.
The Flash is the biggest show of those, correct? I think the Flash –
wait, for
ratings-wise? Ratings-wise. I think Flash is the biggest. Yeah. And then probably Arrow, right?
Yeah, Arrow's going into its last season.
Yeah, so that's going to get a spike. Batwoman's going to be crazy, especially they're bringing back – they're using a lot of villains from Batman's Rogues Gallery for the Batwoman show, which is going to be kind of cool. But, yeah.
But overall, you're all looking at me. I was going to say they're they're also going to introduce the villain, Hush.
Is that what it is? You, hold on a second. You wait to get looked at to talk? Is that
– I was feeling this awkwardness, like all eyes on me.
I think that's your whole life. But no, go ahead. Hush, yeah. Batman Hush?
Yes, Hush. They were saying that the villain that was in the new Batman animated movie is going to make an actual appearance in the new Batwoman TV show.
That'll be absolutely epic.
Yeah.
So
– I'm curious on the tie-in on that, too, because Hush is such a personal villain to Bruce, Batman. Man. Bruce, exactly. Basically, short version, Hush is like a childhood friend of Bruce Wayne. They kind of grew up together. Things happen. You turn to a villain. Sort of.
Such a good story.
Shorthand. Yeah, the story is great. What about the movie, though? Remember? You were
I liked it because it had all the villains in it. Now, when you find out at the end who this guy is, I was kind of like, oh. I was just hoping he'd put up a bigger fight in a way. But
yeah, the DC animated...
Just how cold-blooded Thomas Elliott was. Is there allowed to do spoiler alerts if anyone has not read Hush? That's
apparently you just did. I mean, it came out in, 2002.
Yeah. It's safe. Yeah.
Well, Thomas Elliott was Bruce Wayne's childhood friend, and he, more or less, they went their separate ways after they got out of school. And all of a sudden, this strange thing started happening to Batman. He gets knocked down when he's fighting in Gotham City. And he gets concussion. He goes to the hospital, and the hospital doctor is his childhood friend, Thomas Elliott. And this huge reunion of best friends kind of seem like brothers hanging out together for the whole story. And there's this mysterious people messing with Batman the whole time. Mm-hmm. And at the end of the story, you do find out that it is Thomas Elliott. And I'm not going to do the other part of the spoiler because the best part of it was one character villain was considered so insignificant that – you know, why do I even run into this guy? And he was the villain that was executing the whole plan. Mm-hmm. But when you talk to Thomas Elliott of how dark and how similar the lives were between Bruce Wayne and him, Thomas Elliott got mad at Bruce Wayne because he wanted his parents to die so he could inherit the fortune. And he cut the brake lines on his own parents' car. And the mom survived and the dad died. And he had that grudge against Bruce Wayne his whole life to get revenge on Bruce Wayne because he ruined his life by keeping his parents alive. And it was such a great, you know, psychological alter ego of Batman having the perfect nemesis for himself.
Yeah.
Thomas Elliott.
No, I was going to say, I agree. The book for me was even – the illustrations by Jim Lee were even more so like amazing or impactful than even the story by Jeff Loeb, which was great because you had a who's who of you had Batman, Superman, Poison Ivy, Joker – I mean, you name them, they were pretty much in that book. And Jim Lee's illustrations are just amazing. But that story was, I guess I was really hopeful to see it almost like the book. So that's where they threw me. So my first like glimpse of seeing one of the first fights Batman runs into, he fights Killer Croc. Okay. And they said, oh, you know, let's put Bane in there instead of Killer Croc. And we're like, I'm like,
that's different.
Why? You know what I mean? Like the needless changes. It brings me back to what DC did a while back with the adaptation of Gotham by Gaslight, where they took a character and the great reveal of the antagonist in that story and basically, for the sake of, I don't know, time or change, made it a totally different character, which was, I guess, kind of clever in their mind, but really was just changing for the sake of changing. That was my concern with the animated movie, but...
Yeah, I mean, to me, that's in anytime you adapt something to another art form, artistic liberties should be there, but they should play a role, right? Like if you're going to change the character that did something in the original work, then it has to help grow the other character that they're impacting or something like that, as opposed to just changes for change's sake. Yeah,
exactly.
All right, Donnie, you wanted to, there was something you wanted to talk about coming out of Comic-Con?
Oh, was it the Marvel Phase 4?
I don't know.
Shang-Chi?
Yeah.
Am I saying that right,
I
Ken?
Don't know. It's definitely Shang-Chi.
Which one is it?
Don't believe him. He's going to mess with you. You had it right.
Okay, so
I've heard it.
That's always I've heard.
Well, we'll see when the movie comes out.
So yeah, like I was telling, I was telling you guys.
I was going to have Donnie come over here and talk about it, but apparently he doesn't want to.
Oh, transition cool.
music. Oh, you're cool. Okay, yeah, yeah. Just stay.
They can all hear me, whichever mic I'm sure. But okay. No, anyways, so you know,
can't
as
wait
I did,
he's back on the beanbag.
As I did with Black Panther, with an all you know African American, whatever cast and everything, they're gonna.
What does that mean? Whatever.
I don't know. They're gonna do the same thing with Shang-Chi. They're gonna have all Asian. It's a kung fu guy.
I don't think that's right. Chai.
I think it's Shang-Chi.
Shang-Chi.
I'm standing by the Shang, but not the.
I heard a podcast earlier that kept saying it was Comic Book Nation. They kept saying Shang-Chi. If they're wrong,
yeah,
I think we can all be wrong.
You never
well, I used
really
to have this
Chaya
pet.
You ever drink Chaya? Chaya.
So. Anyways, it's going to be a kung fu movie with an all-Asian cast, and I'm looking forward to it. I like a good kung fu movie and everything, and I bought the comic while I could because I'm sure you guys don't even know what it is. It's a 1972 Marvel Special Edition number 15. So grab it while you can. It's an all-black cover pretty much, so I mean, if you can get it in good condition, I'd get it while you can before the movie comes out.
What'd you pay for it and when?
I paid $175 for it, but it came with Spawn number 1, 2, 3, and 4. You got to have that in your collection.
What a weird combination.
Yeah, like, I don't know. It was like some kind of
Spawn sheet.
I'll pay extra $100 for that.
It was like five
the
comics for the price
event.
Of one. He's
Nobody
probably just trying to get
for.
Rid of it because he probably has a ton of Spawn. He's probably just trying to get rid of it.
I just got a text from Toledo. I love that all we can see is the mic in front of Donnie's face. Just a mic in front of it. Completely blocking your head. I
no
looked
one wants
at the
to see
video.
This mug.
No, don't back up. Just talk. Muzzle up to it. Talk right into it. All right, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah, that was it. That's what I paid for it. But, you know, that was a year ago when I found out that they were first doing this movie. Now they're just getting closer and closer for it to go into production. So,
have you seen the price go up?
I'm not seeing any issues come out on sale anymore. It's like they're all getting snatched up because it's a 1972 comic. So I imagine not that many exist.
Yeah. No, there was actually, I forgot the website I was trying to find just now, but I saw it early today while browsing. They were showing, based off of Phase 4 in the news, the top issues that you should be looking as a comic buyer to buy. Mind you, I'm not into the collecting game so much, so it was like, oh, interesting, but like exact issues and like exact prices. And that was really interesting. So the fact that you asked that was like something that jogged my memory because I'm sure Ken would know it's something that's like off the top as soon as you see these names and titles, like, oh, this issue and this one and this first appearance and all of that.
Well, right now, like Thor number one, the first Jane Foster Thor is the most affordable buy out there right now because people still only paying $10 to $20 for it. Uh-huh. And they already said that Jane Foster is going to be Thor.
Yeah, so why is that price not going up? I don't know.
Because Jane Foster's first appearance was in A Journey into Mystery book back in the 1960s. And so people are looking at that as the first appearance of Jane Foster. And I'm going, still, it's she's Thor in Thor number one.
What about What If number 10?
Yeah, that's something, too, that has gone up since Jane Foster was named Thor because it's kind of like it's a separate reality, almost like your crisis thing going there. But What Ifs are not part of regular reality. But it would be ironic because they're doing that What If cartoon that's coming up, too, they announced for Phase 4. If they actually do that What If Jane Foster became Thor as the tease for what's going on in Phase 4.
Yeah, it's the ultimate synergy.
Yes.
All at once. Perfect storm. What If number 10?
Hakuna Matata.
What a wonderful
Did you say
phrase.
Hakuna Matata?
I said Hakuna.
Oh. Hakuna.
I didn't say
Matata.
That clear, I'm not sure.
It means no worries.
My pronunciation was correct on that.
Okay.
I'm sorry. Not going to question you.
So that was...
It's Shang-Chi.
Shang-Chi?
Yeah.
Did you put your headphones on and listen to it somehow? How did you do that? How did you verify that?
You know, I have a little bit of technology.
Do you have a brain implant, Dave? like you
can... maybe.
Apple brain? So
this
more,
whole episode,
more PC.
He was looking up the pronunciation of Shang-Chi.
Was it phonetic written out? Is that how you got it? Or?
Oh, no, I just read it. Oh,
I know. I wish I had a speaking spell to type it into.
I have some friends throughout the country or throughout the world. It helps me pronounce
tremendous
it.
Resources. A very specific set of skills.
I have a very particular set of skills. Skills that make me a nightmare to mispronounce it. If you say something wrong, I will find you. I will hunt you down. and I will correct you.
I can't wait till this comes out and it's Shang-Chi.
Shang-Chi. Oh, man.
I am Shang-Chi. I know who you are.
Okay. So how does Shang-Chi, that it's Phase 4, so it's fitting into the Marvel Cinematic Universe. And what is this character exactly that the character does?
Kung Fu Master.
Yep. But does he have superpowers, or is he Bruce Lee in comic book form?
You know, that's
I'm going to say it's not my
strength.
That's
a good question. I haven't. I've never read the comic. I'm just
so you're
too
really excited
to.
About it, but you don't know
have,
what it
I
is.
I have the comic. Of course I'm excited.
You didn't okay. read the comic?
This is just a business
I'm afraid
thing.
To. Unless they come out with a reprint of it, or if I can find something cheap, that's the only way I'll read it.
Wait, should read? Oh, we'll okay.
Anybody looking forward to something in Marvel Phase 4 that knows anything about it other than prices?
Well, I think that's kind of the big thing is a lot of a speculation. Like, well, like I'm excited for the Doctor Strange. And
supposed to be the first horror.
That's what is intriguing me. And apparently Black Widow's supposed to play a role in it. And that's all they've said. So is it going to be, is there a successor to Black Widow? Because if it's in the normal timeline, then she's clearly gone. So is like
Blacker
like a
Widow.
Return. So like, yeah, like a I don't know where to go with that. A return from the grave, or you know what I mean? Like, how are they going to tie
Juliet? My daughter believes that Black Widow was a Skrull.
No,
yeah,
wow.
Because then Hawkeye thinks he's losing the one he loves, but he's not really, and she's going to come back. That's
but
a Juliet
theory.
Wouldn't
she have turned back into a Skrull when she died?
Upon death? Because they usually do.
When did he sees her?
Well, she's down at the bottom of the.
We see her. The last thing
the
is
pit
shot
or whatever, and it's like
maybe
sprawled out.
Final. Wait, maybe
it was looked just
final.
Like Gamora's death in Infinity War.
Yeah, but
he come down to the blood in the back.
Yeah, but maybe you don't see the very final part. Maybe it's right before.
Maybe she was wearing a wig as a Skrull.
Yeah,
for effect.
I would hope not. Like that's the one
I hope so. Just because you hope not.
No, because that would the whole like playing with the emotional lack of what little there was in that story of her sacrificing herself for it to not even be her. She's on like a helicarrier with.
Hey, we just watched this.
Just watch a good Halloween movie if you want to see a character that's been killed off so many times come back.
Can I speculate?
They had Michael Myers
killed when
he chopped off his
is
head.
Is a horror movie?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, one of Doctor Strange's major villains is called Nightmare. And Nightmare would be the perfect connection to make a horror Doctor Strange movie. Like all these different things that are going on in...
Oh, on Elm Street.
Yes, pretty much. You know, how ironic would that be? But it's... You know, I thought about that too, but I didn't want to go there. But
no,
it's all right.
It's too easy.
Let's get too
grabbed it.
But Nightmare would be the perfect horror movie character to use in Doctor Strange.
So is that a dream world kind of
yes.
thing?
Yes. And if Black Widow, if he's kind of Doctor Strange feels any kind of guilt or any type of thing, if it's not just Doctor Strange but other Avengers that they somehow bring into the movie that are left over from Endgame, you can use Nightmare to kind of play off of, once again, no pun intended, their nightmares that they are having a hard time dealing
with. You think they might avoid that because of Spider-Man Far From Home with the... Mysterio character without spoiling alert. Basically creating a nightmare scenario.
A lot of people said Spider-Man was a lot of
foreshadowing. What did you say? Nightmare what?
Well, Mysterio basically created this whole nightmare scenario and made
No, the word, Spider-Man. Just the word. I thought you said Sirio or something.
I would never do something like that. That's Corbin's world.
Oh, wow. That's all.
Shots fired.
Exactly.
Across the bow. Has stopped them before from doing similar kind of stories, but it may be a little bit too similar. I don't know.
Yeah. It's going to be interesting to see their tie-in. I'm really more excited even. And
when
I've
does
never,
that movie come out? When is Doctor Strange?
2021? Yeah, that's 2021.
So that's two years away.
Yeah, they have seven like different movies or shows or seven events for Phase 4 in 2021.
That's going to be.
Yeah, we also have a WandaVision.
Yeah.
Yeah, for spring 2021. We've all seen Endgames, right?
Of course. What's Endgames?
We've seven times.
We've seen it singular.
So... I'm really interested about this. Like, how are they going to? From my understanding, I didn't see Vision in Endgames.
He was there.
There's no S in
Endgames. It's still not Endgames, but
okay.
I see what.
No, sure,
but there was
Shuri uploaded his mind to her computer, and they'll bring him back that way.
Wait, was Vision? Was yeah? I mean,
yeah. They took the Mind Stone in
Infinity
Wars.
I think it's Infinity Wars.
Have a theory.
What's that theory?
Or is it Infinity's War?
I think that Wanda, like, we kind of saw a little bit of Scarlet Witch, kind of, you know, with that battle against Thanos and, like, saying that she lost everything and all that good stuff. She's going to manipulate some of the alternate timelines along with Doctor Strange to either bring back Vision or to conjure up some version of him like the one they have. Because, yeah, he's a robot, but at the same time, like, those emotions, those feelings, all of that could be tied to
But he needed that. The Mind Stone, right?
Exactly. So maybe I think that she's going to come, and maybe she's a little unhinged, a little unbalanced. There's some comics that have had kind of lend themselves to that type of character in Scarlet Witch, where she is an active role in the nightmare scenario in this horror movie, because she's going to manipulate things to bring back Vision that probably shouldn't be messed with.
Is it certain that this is is taking place in the future as opposed to during the period between Civil War and Infinity War, and somehow it was their adventures during those couple of years?
Now, I think that the Black Widow movie is supposed to happen right around Civil War.
I'm glad. Yeah, it's going to be between Civil War and Infinity.
Okay.
Yeah. As far as the Wanda stuff, WandaVision is going to be current. Like, that's going to be after Endgame. They haven't said about Doctor Strange, the new Doctor Strange multiverse movie, but you would assume. I mean,
but it's a multiverse, so
exactly.
It can be anywhere.
I would think it's a natural evolution on the timeline on Phase 4, but that's just my thoughts. There haven't been talk that it's going to be anything, so, you know, that's kind of up in the air.
That could be Scarlet Witch trying to get Doctor Strange to access the multiverse to bring her
that's
vision.
That's what I'm thinking.
Oh.
Because, I mean, at this point, she already said, like, everything's lost for her. So, yeah, the battle's won, and she seemed hopeful at the end game, but who knows what might happen. This is, you know what? No, I need to bring him back. And then where that goes. So that's a thought. I've never been more excited to say I'm actually excited for the Disney Expo next month.
Yes.
Just so we can actually hear stuff about.
I don't even know what that is.
I barely know what that is either.
Anaheim's.
Uh-huh. But it's called Anaheim's? D23.
It's D23, yeah.
And I don't know what the 23 means.
Michael Jordan.
It's a great question.
Is it Michael Jordan? But
LeBron James.
Maybe.
No, I mean, it's D23.
But then it would just be weird that they would, the D20, you know. But
it's called D23 every year.
Oh, okay. Well,
I also can't tell you why.
Okay.
It's a secret. It's confidential. People, yeah, part of my non-disclosure from working for Disney. Can't tell you what the D23 stands for.
After we get off? Okay. No, but in my mind, it makes
they'll
sense.
They'll come
that
get him.
I'm here to kill you. The Mickey Mouse Chucky crossover.
Anyway, I got that one. Anyway, I think I was proud of myself. I think that they were holding back on the obvious sequels to Black Panther, to Captain Marvel for D23 to save some more stuff on that Disney side for them. That's my thought process. So I'm excited because how many people were thinking, oh, that's the next in phase?
I completely forgot about those.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, so I think that's being saved for that, and that's what I'm excited
about. And that is when?
We've got
next month, the end of August.
2023 was the year that Disney was founded.
Ah, wow. Great work.
Kayla.
Great work. Okay, cool. Okay. But it's the end of August. I think August 25th.
All you guys here in Kayla's on the end of the table.
I mean, Disney's not my. If Disney didn't buy everything, hero. I wouldn't worry about them. But, you know, here we are. Yeah. No.
Donnie's like, I couldn't make any money off of it, so I don't care. The only way I care is if I can make a dollar. You know, even if it's just $1, makes me happy.
Dollar right. Extra didn't
have. What about Blade? Anybody else excited about that?
It's been pushed back to Phase 5. You just want to have
still
a
excited.
Special moment.
Still excited.
Great
about
actor.
It.
Great actor.
Yeah, Mahershala Ali.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
And that's
sure
like
I pronounced that right.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, think it was an S at the
it's coming from me. You can trust my pronunciation. You said it right. Anyways, no, I'm excited about it. I mean, I don't know much about other than watching the movies and, like, the storylines or anything. Who knows? But, like, I think it's a perfect casting, and it's, like, one of those fan castings that, like, click, that works.
I think Wesley Snipes would have been good.
Sucker. But,
yeah.
Well, no, I will say, though, just the one thought on that is I felt like Blade basically brought comic book movies back into the mainstream as acceptable in the mid-90s after they were kind of thought of as box office fodder. So just throwing that out there, I think, you know, there's some recognition to that franchise, and so I'm looking forward to that because of that.
They were the first movie that Marvel actually did. Like, just Marvel. Like, people
Blade was a Marvel movie?
Yeah.
Yeah.
We all go to Iron Man to the Nate, but Blade, late 90s, like you said,
right,
was
but
the
wasn't the MCU, though.
Yeah, not MCU.
But I'm saying, well, not MCU, but in a Marvel, you know, Marvel House movie, I guess.
Right.
Yeah, they
people associate the MCU with Iron Man with Marvel starting to get into the movie game, but that was literally a decade before.
Yeah, I mean, unless you count the Captain America, like, old Captain America movie.
Yeah, not too.
And the Dolph Lundgren Punisher
movie. Yeah, the Muffin
movie.
Top version.
Ooh, Dolph Lundgren Punisher.
Dolph Lundgren?
Lundgren.
Yeah. And he actually...
Corbin's rubbing off on me.
Okay.
We need to wrap the show.
So I... This,
and Howard the Duck.
This is exactly what
Or the Duke.
This is exactly what I want to hit because... there was so much info that came out of San Diego Comic-Con, and I have a feeling that there's not going to be that much coming out each week, that what I'd like to do is just wrap it up right here, because in the next couple of weeks, instead of just trying to hit everything at once, which I think a lot of the shows are going to be doing, is trying to do everything at once, having four-hour shows where they just get all the news. We're also going to be finding out little tidbits of extra information along each week. So to try and speculate and do so much, I'd rather get into the stuff a little bit more, find out what everybody cares about, how much money that's going to be worth and stuff like that is always pretty good. So that's
just nodding his head.
Some of the other stuff. Yeah, he's behind this microphone. You can't see my head. But, but you know, we'll save some of the other stories because, yeah, Ken, you have plenty of stuff to talk about from Comic-Con as well. On the comic side, I think there's plenty to talk about in Phase 4. We hit the CW stuff pretty well today. But again, it's going to constantly little bits of information is going to keep coming out. So I think that's it for this week in terms of the award of the day goes to none other than Caleb. 19... Would you like the fake point toward you?
I was like, what?
He's going to point to me.
I was like, I get the first award.
No, you got no award. No, it's all Kayla. She had the best. She dug up the best nugget of info for the whole thing, handed it over. Yeah. Coleman tried to take credit for it.
I gave credit where credit's due.
You did.
Yeah, I'm a giver. I'm real humble.
Yeah. Humble genius.
I saved $7 on my car insurance with this little gecko.
But I saved.
Ken at Drawn to Comics, across all forms of social media, at Frank Caliendo. We are at Comic Playground. Corbin?
Everywhere. I'm on all social media platforms, though. Like, seriously, follow us.
Don't
Facebook, Instagram, Twitter.
Don't please jokingly follow it. Us. Don't like, seriously like real talk. Follow. Like. David, you had what is your social media handle?
So we have Cretaceous Designs LLC. We have Twitter.
Spell Cretaceous Designs. You can't.
You don't even know your own.
It's hard. It's wait.
Cretaceous like the dinosaur.
Can you use it in the sentence?
Cretaceous like the period.
Like by a vowel.
But, you know, I'm going to give the floor to Comic Playground for – I wanted to thank you guys for having me here today, and, you know, I really appreciate it.
Yeah, we're heroes.
Yeah, you guys are heroes. Yeah.
All right.
I love you guys.
Until next time, keep your cow on the ground and keep reaching for the sky. It's a Twister reference.
Oh, okay.
Nailed
another
it.
Cow. Same cow.
That cow's worth like $6.